Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at comfortkeepers.com.
This is the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. Our episode today might be hard for some people to hear. It is about a report that came out detailing widespread sexual abuse over many years at Interlochen Center for the Arts. The conversation lasts about 9 minutes. About 2 years ago, Interlochen Center for the Arts received a complaint from a former student who had attended Interlochen Arts Academy in the 1970s. She said a longtime faculty member had sexual contact with her. In response, Interlochen asked an outside law firm to conduct an investigation and gather any evidence of similar claims from other alumni. Their findings are out this week in a 97-page report that reaches back to the 1950s. It documents 70 separate accounts of sexual misconduct covering 47 faculty or staff members. None of them work for Interlochen anymore, and about a third of them have died. Interlochen, which runs a boarding high school and a summer camp for students in the arts, has made the report publicly available. IPR was given a copy in advance, and we are about to talk with the institution's president, Trey Devi. Before we do, I want to point out for our listeners that IPR is part of Interlochen, but our newsroom operates with editorial independence. Neither Mr. Devi nor any Interlochen officials have seen our questions in advance, and no senior Interlochen official will be editing any of our coverage of this story, including this interview. Trey Devi, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Ed. Thanks for having me.
There were about 70 separate instances of sexual misconduct reported to investigators. Were you surprised at that number?
It was a sobering report. And we, I think we're all heartbroken by what the reports that were provided by our alumni in the course of this investigation. I would say that first, I'm grateful to the first alumna who came forward and shared this account. That was surprising. It was not in our records. And that set in motion to the work that has happened over the past 2 years. So this process of discovery has been difficult, but we're grateful. And I think it reinforces our commitment to candor and accountability, sharing what we learned so that our community can grow and improve from this information.
The report covers a time period from the 1950s up through the 2010s. And I imagine some people who might see that in the report would be curious why the investigators didn't go six more years into the present day.
They had the full capacity to take the investigation wherever it led. If a report had come in more recent years, that would have been included. There was no period of time that was blacked out or in any way not subject to this investigation. They just happened to receive reports from the 1950s through the 2010s. And I think it's important to note that the number of accounts that happened prior to 2000 and after 2000 was quite different. There were very few reports in the investigation report after 2000. But there are a lot of things that happened in the past 25 years. Societal norms have changed. We've developed a deeper understanding of how to prevent and respond to sexual misconduct when it happens in our institutions. Laws have changed over the years, awareness, training. But I do credit my predecessor, Jeff Kimpton, who led this institution and his administration for 14 years from 2003 to 2017. And you can see with those robust safety protocols in place that the number of reports diminished.
In the time since, let's say, 2020, when the reports received by the investigators happened to stop, have you had to activate those protocols?
Yes. The systems have worked. The systems have worked where a concern was identified, the institution was made aware, A report was made to the authorities. The investigation was conducted, and appropriate action was taken. So, you know, I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the fact that if one of our employees as a mandated reporter comes forward with a concern, that we can investigate that. You know, the thing that you see in this report is the number of individuals who did not make a report, and perhaps people within the institution that might have had some awareness, but based on societal norms, based on maybe the laws at the time, that they didn't say anything. And so those are the things that we can do right now. We can say, here are the avenues to report and to prevail on everyone in this organization to understand, if you see something, it's your obligation. There are criminal, civil, and professional consequences to not say something.
The report does not name most of the people accused of sexual misconduct. And I want to point out that you say in a cover letter that that is in order to not interfere with any possible investigations the prosecutor might pursue. Is that correct?
That is true.
There are a few names revealed by Interlaken, though. Respondent one is identified as Byron Hansen. He worked for Interlaken for more than 50 years, including as music director at Interlaken Arts Academy, and he's accused of sexual misconduct toward a number of students, including acts at his home and in his parked car. Hansen, we know, retired in 2015 and died in 2021 at the age of 79. What does it mean that somebody who had so much power and was so celebrated was somehow also able to cause such harm?
Well, again, it's heartbreaking that any adult in a position of power and authority would abuse that trust. It brings me back to the alumna who came forward and shared a report. When that information came to my office, it was shocking. And it was the impetus to begin this, because we saw no evidence of this in our files. And that led to the commissioning of the report.
This is a very exposing process for Interlaken, to pay a law firm to come in and reveal as many problems as they could possibly find from the past.
Yep.
What were the conversations like among leadership about the value or the importance of not only having this investigation, but opening its findings up to the public?
I appreciate this question. As an educational institution, we think a lot about how what we do as an organization is a model for what we expect of our students. Our students are watching what we do. We undertook this report to understand and learn from our history, and that conveying quite visibly and in a painful way that reflection is an opportunity for growth. We see that as a model for our students and for other institutions that have issues that they need to confront. And as our alumni came forward and they had all these sobering accounts, that we can do the right thing. We can apologize for the harm that happened here, and we can do the right thing by sharing our commitment to get even better as an organization, to improve. And that too is a model for our students. Those are the standards that we hold for ourselves and the example that we hope to set for our community. If you've got an institution where you can't call out the things that are lacking, call out the things that need to be improved, you have real cultural problems.
Trey Devi, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Ed.
He is the president of Interlaken Center for the Arts. Our entire conversation lasted about 20 minutes. You can hear the whole thing on our website, iprnews.org. That is also where you will find the full report and resources for people who may have experienced abuse. That's the Up North Lowdown for Wednesday, July 29th. I'm Ed Ronco. Additional reporting on this story came from our producer, Austin Rolater, editing by Steve Junker. Thank you for listening. We'll talk again tomorrow.